Matters of the Heart is a series of short audio essays produced and shared in reaction to Mormon Matters podcast episodes or topics. If something in a Mormon Matters episode has captured your imagination, and you would like to explore your reactions more deeply through writing and preparing to share the results with others in an audio format, please go for it. You are welcome to submit your own recording or to schedule a time with Mormon Matters host Dan Weatherspoon in which the two of you can produce the recording together. We very much look forward to having your voice be part of Mormon Matters in this new way.
Now let us rejoice in the day of salvation. No longer as strangers on earth need we roam. Good tidings are sounding to us and each nation, and shortly the hour of redemption will come.
When the news broke on Saturday morning that the LDS Church had lowered the age for missionary service for young women from 21 to 19, nearly parallel with young men, I texted exclamation points to my ward young women's president. "I'm crying with joy," she texted back. "Crying?" At first, I didn't understand. But then the impact started to register, and I started crying, too, on the sidelines of my daughter's soccer game. With one eye on my daughter dominating the backfield and one eye on my iPhone, I watched Twitter light up with excitement and joy. I started realizing the potentially far-reaching impacts of this policy change. Yes, putting mission before marriage in the storyline of young women's lives, it could change gender dynamics within Mormonism a great deal. How did the old storyline go? Let's say you grew up a serious young Mormon girl. When you were 3 or 4 years old, you learned to stand and speak from the pulpit. By the time you turned 12, you marked your scriptures front to back, and you learned all the doctrine. And when you prayed, you felt alive. You felt important. You realized God was far more important than any of the other tin can prizes or prom queen tinsel your girlhood held for you. Your faith gave you a sense of purpose, a sense that you too could go into the woods like Joseph Smith and get answers, a sense that you too could build up Zion. You turn 18 and you watch the boys you grew up with get ready to get in the game, and you're just like them, full of righteous foolishness and hopeful energy, believing you can make a difference in this world if you can figure out what your purpose is, because you know in your soul you were made for faith. From the time you were 4 years old, you knew how to talk from a pulpit. And from the time you were 12, you had your scriptures marked from front to back. And now you're the Mormon girl who carries her scriptures to class at BYU and fasts on weekdays and prays just because you like the way it feels. Because this is what makes you feel alive, loving God. This is what matters. Coach, put me in somewhere, anywhere. Not yet. And maybe you should think about getting married. But marriage is the last thing on your mind. Marriage is another planet. Babies are another planet. Your own newly ripe reproductive system, it's like another universe sealed up in your pelvis. It's all just mystery. And it's the last darn thing on your mind. You just left your parents' house, and you're ready to travel light and hard and far and test your mind and heart and figure out how to make yourself useful in this life. The last thing you want is to be registering for housewares and picking out one-wearing dresses. There's no God in housewares. There's no God in one-time dresses. And that's just not who you are. You are the girl who's been taking turns at a pulpit since she was 4. You are the girl with scriptures marked back to front. You're the girl who fasts on weekdays and prays just because you like the way it feels. And you want to go to work in the field that you know best, the one you really love, your faith. You just want to be useful. Coach, put me in somewhere, anywhere. Not yet. And maybe you should think about getting married. So you get accustomed to waiting. During the years when boys your age are testing themselves with intense study and heartbreaking loneliness and terrible rules and impossible odds and maybe miracles around every corner, you're making eyes at boys and watching videos in college apartments because that's the path to getting married, right? And maybe that's what you should be thinking about. You get accustomed to waiting and to looking for yourselves in the eyes of the 22 and 23-year-old men who suddenly become your peers, except that they're not your peers. They're grown men back from a 2-year intensive in the inner workings of the thing you love most, this church, and you're still an ingenue an amateur, and kissing them feels a little bit like kissing your father. And that unevenness, yeah, it's part of how patriarchy works. The lessons of these years, this strange pivot into adult Mormon womanhood, they matter. It matters if for the first 17 years of your life you thought you could talk straight to God and then the story changed and suddenly you're waiting for answers in the form of a husband. And the well-meaning people around you, they all believe that your answers will come in the form of a husband as well. That's a confusing place for a Mormon girl who's been taking turns at a pulpit since she was 4 and has her scriptures all marked up and just wants to be in it with God because God was her first love and may always be her best. So witnessing the change that could save a new generation of Mormon girls, that desolating pivot, yeah, it's a big deal. It brings a mix of joy and sadness. I understood that when I found myself not just shedding tears of happiness, but actually sobbing on the sidelines of my daughter's soccer game last Saturday and connecting back to the young woman I was at 18 and what this would have meant to her. How much more confusing life got after 18, because it is totally confusing. This game of waiting to be found by someone who might love you and thinking that means purpose. That game, it drives some of us crazy. The sadness we feel, it's a hunger we may have never known how to even name. The hunger to be useful. Mormonism is a pragmatic faith tradition, and there is no higher honor than being useful to the work. Sweet is the work. And some Mormon women, we go our whole lives and never feel that we've been really useful in all the ways we could have been, might, mind, strength, and all that. The hunger, it runs deep. Because, yeah, we make some pretty darn dedicated mothers, just like Mormon men make some pretty darn dedicated fathers. But deep inside, many of us are still the girls we've been taking our turn at the pulpit since we were 4. And we're still the girls who have her scriptures marked front to back. And we're still the girls who love God first and best. And we just want to get out and do the work because we feel in our bones that this is what we were made for. This mission age change is just one of so many small incremental changes that Mormon women are starting to envision for ourselves. Because there's so much work to be done in this project of building Zion. And none of it's helped along with this idea we take up at a pivotal age in our lives that we must wait to find our purpose and hoping that someone else might fall in love with us. So take heart. And know that our Mormon daughters may come to see themselves a bit differently. And know, too, that the process we call continuing revelation, which also looks a lot like historical change, leaves every adult generation with a kind of burden. We have to take all the missteps, mistakes, hurts, delays, and undone business of the past, and all the disappointment and misunderstanding and lost chances it caused, and we have to make peace with it. Not by stuffing it away, but by sorting it through, counting the costs, understanding the consequences, confirming each other's feelings, and never expecting to be compensated. We do that whether our issue is gender roles or historical controversies, and no one acknowledges that hard work, but they should, even if not over the pulpit. Yeah, let's create a space for us to acknowledge each other. So let me close by acknowledging you. Yeah, you would have been an incredible missionary at 19. Honey, I can see it from here. And yes, it might have changed our path a great deal. Sister friend, it might have changed everything. And you know, it might just still.
Thank you for listening to this edition of Matters of the Heart. We look forward to you joining the conversation about this episode at mormonmatters.org. If you would like to write your own essay to be considered for an episode of Matters of the Heart, please learn more about it by clicking on the Matters of the Heart menu tab. While you're at the website, we'd very much welcome you to subscribe or donate. If the Mormon Matters array of podcasts or its blog adds something valuable to your life and spiritual journey, we would love any gifts you can make towards helping it continue to go and grow. All donations are fully tax deductible. The music for Matters of the Heart is graciously provided by the Saber Rattlers, an Austin, Texas-based gospel collective led by Mark Abernathy. This recording of Now Let Us Rejoice is from their album Twixt Me and the Peaceful Rest, which is available on CD or via download at www.saberrattlers.com or through iTunes. As always, we are again very grateful to StudioCase.com for providing the Mormon Matters logo.
We'll love one another and never dissemble, but cease to do evil and ever be one. The ungodly of trouble.